Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome back to the Movies Hate You.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Oh, I like that, man. Can you record that? Can you get people doing that at the same time? That'd like two awesome. Females, one male, and then do like a little jingle? I always wanted like a little radio jingle.
Have the voice come in at the end. Brought to you by BMovie.com.
I like that. I need some kind of really cool, funky opening like that. Although our opening music's badass. It's always been one of my favorite tunes. Any topic. We will settle it Sicilian style. Because little did anyone know, but Todd Sheets is Sicilian, and he is a chancellor of pain, and he will hurt you anytime I ask him to.
I'll get the sledgehammer out. I'll slap somebody in the face.
Well, there you go. Look at that, man. Oh, man, we need you here in New York, buddy. And, as usual, with us tonight is the two and only Mr. Reilly Peterson, thank you for joining us. Our DVD reviewer who doesn't review DVDs, but he reviews the boxes and the disc art and the sleeve and the barcode. But he never gets to the damn movie. Well, that's why we love him. Mr. Ree, welcome back, you Asian bastard.
Hello, everybody.
Isn't it hello?
Pleased to be here.
Oh, man.
That is the end of my Asian impression for the evening.
And just say it again for the one more time for the ACLU.
ACLU? What? I can't even say ACLU.
Oh, I love independent radio.
I used to until we got just closed down. Thanks.
You are our Rush Limbaugh, Mr. Ree. You really are our.
I was
Rush
actually, Limbaugh. Believe it or not, I have an Asian friend. I believe he's of the Korean variety. And I was discussing this with him the other day because what I don't understand is there's a stereotypical Asian way of speaking. Obviously, we're making fun here. We're not.
Right, of course we are.
Of course we're making fun. Just a little loose. But there's the whole thing about not pronouncing their R's and substituting R's for L's. But what doesn't make sense to me is that it's also vice versa. So what I guess I don't understand is if you can say your L's and you can say your R's, why are they interchangeable? I can understand, say Spanish, for instance, where R isn't what do they call trilled? You do this with the R's. I understand that, but you know what I'm saying?
I think you've called into the wrong program, my friend. What the hell is this guy talking about, Todd? Let's talk about movies.
It isn't like there's no L in the alphabet. There is an L. It isn't like there's no R in the alphabet. There is an R.
Mr. Ree, get a job in a sideshow, buddy.
Mr. Ree, go to L and stop talking this nonsense. I don't want your anti-semantics on this program.
No, I'm not anti-semantic. You know that.
I know. You can't stop talking. And correctly, too.
I'm just going to listen. Go ahead, guys.
You go ahead, Mr. Ree. We're enjoying our lesson.
Mr. Ree, come on.
Well, no, it's not a lesson. I just don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. That's all.
I don't know either.
If anybody has the answer, they could call maybe and discuss it.
Yeah. And that's 1-800-MOVIES-HATE-YOU. Just call that number anytime you want. You can call even when we're not on the air. 1-800-MOVIES-HATE-YOU. Is that right, Todd? Did you buy that?
No. 800? No.
So we're sending people to a bad place.
Well, that's not the first time you've probably done that.
Can we? Oh, I like it. Can we call that number right now and see 1-800 Movies Hate You? Let's see what comes up.
Okay.
Please.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm working on it. Hang on.
And playing.
Takes a moment.
Come on, get the phone off the wall. Pull the wire close to the mic.
Give it a minute, man. Give it a minute. Jeez.
I love this. It's old school.
It is.
What is 1-800? That is the quest of this episode of Movies Hate You, is what is 1-800 Movies Hate You? And I seriously don't know, and I want us all to discover this together. And if it's a porn line, Todd will hang up or be sued by the FCC.
We're getting there. Hang on. You just keep talking amongst yourselves.
I'm going to keep talking. You know what bothers me is that I put up 5 brand new DVDs as a bounty for anyone brave enough to rewrite our intro description on the jackaloperadio.com website. If you were to go scroll down to show, you know, go to shows and then scroll down to Movies Hate You and see that terrible description that somebody wrote about this show and me, I've been too lazy to rewrite. But I want one of our fans or enemies or whatever to rewrite it, and whoever does the best job, at this point, whoever does any job of it, will get 5 free DVDs, and all you have to do is email us at movieshateyou@gmail.com, movieshateyou@gmail.com.
It's a little long, Rob. I think we're going to have to...
Not Gmail at movieshateyou.com, but movieshateyou@gmail.com, because Mr. Ree made that mistake once and Gmail was very angry.
But I won't make that mistake twice.
That's right. Now what is this? What is 1-800-MOVIES-HATE-YOU?
Well, we're calling it right now, so I guess we're going to find out.
Good. I hope you didn't call like your friend down the street or something.
Looking for an easy diet with lasting results?
Ha!
Go to diet.com. Interact with experts and people like you at www.diet.com. Go to diet.com today for your free diet personality analysis by experts who are here to support you. Diet.com.
Hi, can I have an order of buffalo wings?
Yeah. So that is 1-800-MOVIES-HATE-YOU.com, and now you know, not only will you get the Movies Hate You experience, you will lose weight if you listen to the show. And I think some of you, if I know movie fans correctly, could use 1-800-MOVIES-HATE-YOU right now.
Man.
And yes, I'm talking to you, Chubby, with the 2 DVD players in your basement.
Lordy, that was interesting, guys.
Okay, so what is 1-800-MOVIE? Is there such a... What's 1-888-MOVIES-HATE-YOU.com?
What the hell?
Come on, man. Produce. Let's have fun.
I'm producing, but damn you.
I got an angry letter from Germany saying you guys talk too much and don't have enough fun. It's too much Mr. Ree and jibber jabber and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Man, let's give them some entertainment. I'm going to start playing movies on this show. Literally just playing movies on my TV and holding it up to the mic.
You
want movies? We'll give you movies.
What's
888-MOVIES-HATE-YOU.com?
I'm working on it.
You kidding me? You're not patched into this thing, man? You can't just punch up some numbers and this happens? Mr. Ree, it's like Mr. Ree not having Skype.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
It's absurd. He doesn't understand why you can't make a phone call within 10 minutes of me asking.
I am making it right now.
God, he's messing around,
evil.
Man.
The evil. This is just too much evil. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Evil,
you ready?
Yes. This is 888-MOVIES-HATE-YOU.com.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Call the talk line at 800-352-TALK for exciting people nationwide. That's 800-352-TALK.
That's it. That's us.
Wow, it's real.
That's us. Yeah, no. You call that number, you get us. You can talk to us on a chat line, and we'll talk sexy to you the way we can't talk to you on the air.
Wow, that That slightly frightened me.
Which one? Which did?
Both of them.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Do they still have the I remember the chat lines, the sexy talk chat lines?
We just called one. We just called one.
No, that was like a recording, though. That wasn't that.
Yeah, but it told you what to do. It like they lure you in with the free 800 number, and then they say, "Well, you got to call this number if you want to talk to the girls," and then you have to call that number. It's a setup. It's a con. Oh, it's a short con. No.
I mean, though, do you remember that these were like chat rooms where I know there was a scam also, but it
there are party lines.
You were in a party, and everybody was, "Hey, baby, what's happening?"
Yeah, I remember those.
And
that's how I met Todd. Todd in a movie lovers room. I went in thinking, you know, it was a lovers room, but it was actually a movie lovers room, and there was Todd holding court with a bunch of chicks talking about zombie guts and all kinds of stuff. It was crazy, but that's how we met.
How big was his court that he was holding?
His what?
His court? You said he was holding court. Oh, I misunderstood.
Say
you,
what?
Sorry.
Yeah, oh. Cork? No, court. Court, like a king. The king of splatter. Don't you know who your producer is? The king of splatter. Movies with guts. Come on, man. Todd, please, educate this guy before I have to whip out the VHS prices on Amazon for him. We lost Todd, but screw him.
Well,
we don't need Todd. We don't need a producer.
He's producing.
He's off producing somewhere, which means the show's probably not even airing right now. It's dead.
Oh, well. You know what's coming up?
I don't know what to do without Todd around, man.
Let's wing it.
Hey, yeah, so you're watching The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Hey, I'm watching. You know, The Walking Dead's on right now, isn't it? We're on opposite the Walking Dead, so
We are the competitor of The Walking Dead, and might I say we are better than The Walking Dead. How do you like that?
Well, you know, the thing to do would be listen to us and TiVo The Walking Dead.
Yeah, right, right. Don't TiVo us and watch The Walking Dead season finale, but TiVo the season finale. Make your nachos and listen to us live. Don't make your nachos and watch The Walking Dead season finale with 13 million viewers on AMC. Tune in to the Movies Hate You show on Jackalope Radio.
We're on after that, dude.
It depends what market you're in. We figured that out, didn't we?
No, because it's always the same. I mean, because it's on 8 p.m. Central, and the show is not. It's on at 9 p.m. Central, so if it's on at 9 o'clock Eastern, then this show's on at 10 o'clock Eastern, so you're fine.
Right, but then everybody who's tricked into watching that terribly, ridiculously lame and set-up loser show that follows The Walking Dead, anybody who's tricked into that by saying, during the first commercial break of the show nobody really wants to watch, we're going to show you a clip from next season's Walking Dead. When they get tricked into that, they're going to totally miss this show.
I don't think they're going to get tricked, man. I think they're smarter than you give them credit for.
All right. Well, then why aren't they writing in to rewrite our show? How can I get the complaints from Germany, but I don't get someone saying, hey, I'll take 5 free DVDs.
Yeah,
hell, man.
I don't get that at all.
I'll up the ante to 10. 10 free DVDs. You write that show between this week and next week's show. If I get that email and it's any good, you will get 10 DVDs. Brand new, sealed.
I'm going to write it myself.
You're going to write it under a fake name. And it's, send it to, and I'm going to look at the address and say, this is Todd's address. Who's Peter Smith at Todd's address?
Yeah. It'll happen.
Offers off the table after next week, because I'm sick of this.
Do you suppose that people are having Movies Hate You parties?
I'm sure they are. Like, I'm sure they're at a bar. You have to pay $10 to get in.
Yeah. They dress up like us, right?
They dress up like Mr. Ree with the little with the little buck teeth hanging out and the little eyes and the little hat. Yeah,
coolie hat.
The little coolie, they're dressed like Todd. They got the locks. You know, they got the Dave Mustaine locks and all that. You know, yeah, man, it's great.
Big garbage bags full of cans, recyclable cans.
What is that for?
Sorry, that's a New York thing.
Yeah, that's not. Are you saying Todd recycles cans? If they're gonna dress up like Todd, it's like big garbage bags full of money, you know, because he's the grand poobah over here at Jackalope, getting all that advertising revenue on our sweat, blood, and tears. Garbage bags of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think sheets. I need a garbage bag for 35 cents.
Todd, sheets of money. Sheets of money. That's what sheets. Sheets of money printed like a printing press over there at Jackalope.
I was making a terrible racist joke. You see a lot.
I don't like the racist stuff. I really don't. I'm serious.
Oh,
I don't.
Okay.
Get it off my show, man.
All right. Well, no? What's your sex? How about sexism? Is that okay?
I told you, I didn't mean it when I said you're a Rush Limbaugh. You know.
How about journalism?
Oh, speaking of non-racism, I'm looking at bmovie.com, our sponsor. One of several sponsors, but I can't mention the other sponsors by name for some reason. I don't know why, but they do sponsor us. They do. They bankroll this whole experience. I mean, you should see the studio. Anyway, bmovie.com, speaking of politically correct, there are three top sellers at bmovie.com this week, and I think you have a review of one of them, Mr. Ree.
Which one would that be?
I'm seeing this theme here, and correct me if I'm wrong. One of their best sellers is Fräuleins in Uniform. Okay, another one of the best sellers, Attack of the Octopus People / there's two movies, Frankenstein versus Hitler. I'm not kidding. Am I making this up? Google it. Attack of the Octopus People / that's two movies on one disc, Frankenstein versus Hitler, and Naked Nazi. Now, out of the like 15 top sellers that I'm looking at, those are three of them. Is this some kind of resurgence in Nazi exploitation cinema, which I ushered back in 2008, but I'm not going to toot my own horn. Mr. Ree?
If I could toot my own horn, I'd never have to leave the house. But,
does that joke ever? I mean, does that ever die? That like,
I
would like the old "I would never leave the house" like punchline. Does that ever die in this culture? Will someone?
It hasn't yet.
Okay.
Hasn't yet.
Yeah. So do you say Naked Nazi, a bestseller, Frankenstein versus Hitler as part of some other movie nobody's going to watch, Frankenstein versus Hitler. I want to see that. Anything named Frankenstein versus Hitler, first of all, will never live up to the most awesome name in the world, I know, when I pop it in the player, but just, you got to get props for that. And Fräuleins in Uniform, or Fräuleins in Uniform, or Fräuleins, or Fräulein in Uniform.
I thought it was Fräuleins.
Fräuleins. Well, it depends on how old the cast is, but I believe that's an old ditty from the 70s or 80s, part of the original. That's a re-release of something from the original Nazi exploitation cycle. So since you're an authority on all this racism and Nazism on our show here, Mr. Ree.
Well, now, racism and Nazism are two different things. Let's be honest. I mean, one can be a racist and not be a Nazi, and one can be a Nazi. Well, no, actually, you couldn't be a Nazi.
Aha! Caught! Okay. Caught in your own semantic pyramid.
I see your point. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's a good question. I would hazard a guess that if of those three titles, not taking anything away from the quality of the movies, or maybe so, that if you had to actually watch the movie before you purchased it, those might not be quite so high on the list.
Meaning?
I'm just guessing. The titles, maybe the covers, are probably what's selling. I mean, Naked Nazi is the movie that I'm reviewing momentarily here, and I would have to say, sure, that's going to sell some copies, Naked Nazi.
Todd, can we call 1-800-NAKED-NAZI and see what comes up?
But how would you know a Nazi was a Nazi if they were naked? I mean,
they might have a tattoo. Wait, if they had a tattoo, then maybe they're a prisoner of a Nazi. Oh, the wrong kind of tattoo. They might have a swastika on their shoulder or something like all these cool kids do.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's actually just, you know, it's a Hindu symbol, dude. So don't give me that crap that it's racist if you wear the swastika. Yeah.
You know, I saw a guy fair changing on the street. For people who don't know what that means, you know,
people not in New York. Yeah,
people not in New York. People, somebody is sitting on the sidewalk with a cardboard sign that says "Please help me, I'm homeless" or whatever it says.
Their life story. They usually have a hat or some kind of receptacle for your spare change.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We used to call them hobos. Now,
Now they're the downtrodden.
Funny.
They used to be.
They don't have the little cigar stubs in their mouth anymore, and their
why
little.
Why not? I would give them money if they had that little stick. If they had the stick with the bandana with the stuff in it, I would give them money. That is the coolest thing ever.
Burnt cork beard, you know.
Oh my God! I feel like the 1% tonight. Here we are laughing at these poor people. Oh God!
But my point was, I saw a guy on the street, a guy in the street, spare changing, a youngish guy, you know, a teenager, punk, whatever, 20s, and he's got a swastika tattoo on his forehead, and I want to say to him, you know what? Just for future reference. You might want to get a job before you get the swastika tattoo on your forehead. All right, line something up. Just line something up, and then go ahead and go crazy with swastika.
Yeah. He's got a sign saying, "I just lost my job. I don't know, but the economy got me. It's Obama's fault. Obama made me unemployed or whatever." And you look at him, he's got a swastika on his forehead. And it's like, you're either a tattoo artist or you're... It's like, what other play? I mean, and not even... I don't even know a tattoo studio, a tattoo parlor, whatever they call them, that would hire a guy with a swastika on his head. I mean, it would have to be somewhere like where Todd lives for that to ever happen.
Oh, yeah. No, the job market would seriously...
That was a joke, Todd. I'm just seeing if you're awake.
Yeah, and the sign might as well say, "Help me, I have a swastika tattoo on my forehead."
Help me, I can't. You know what? Here's the sign: "Help me get this tattoo removed. It costs $3,400 to have a doctor do it. Will you please help me?" I'd give that guy $10 sight unseen. Just knowing that he was there, I would get the money to him somehow. And no matter where in the country he was, I would mail it to him, knowing that he was honest enough to say, "I need to get this damn thing off my head. So I can get a job. I'm tired of wearing a skull cap in August while collecting garbage," or whatever he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, he just wants a normal job like everyone else.
Or turn it into a windmill or something, you know?
Can you turn this into Kenny from South Park? That's a shout-out to Earls and Jensen, by the way, if anyone is that astute, but I doubt it. But yes, can you turn it into something? Can you turn it into a Jewish star? Can you turn it into a crucifix with two Jesuses on either side?
It's a Ferris wheel. That's what it is. It's a Ferris wheel.
I love that. I saw a guy this morning, literally this morning, walking to work to get my $3 cup of coffee and $2 muffin. I passed a guy twice who was sitting and who knows what he was, but he looked like a junkie and he looked like a heroin addict, and he was nodding off like the way you see junkies nod off on like intervention. Like he was like down to the, you know, last detail. This guy was nodding off in a heroin haze, and his little sign was like, going, his little cardboard sign, and it's like they all get the same sign from the same. Like, there's one guy making those signs with the same handwriting or something. Isn't it crazy? That's the job right there. Yeah, it's like, you guys go out and get the money. I'm going to sit here and make the signs all day here, and then he rents out dogs to you, because a lot of these people have dogs sitting with them. And I'm like, well, you can't feed yourself, and you got this poor dog sitting there. I want to take the dog home and leave you sitting there on the street, you jerk. Why would you take on a dog when you're, you know, I understand, you know, companionship or protection or whatever, but a lot of these people have a dog sitting there. Look, these people work in teams. They're con artists. They're small-time con artists. Anybody that knows anything in New York knows not to give these people money. You do what I've done is if I see one going into a store, I'll buy a banana, I'll buy a bagel, and you hand it to the guy on the way out because at least the person, the guy or the girls, a lot of girls on the street too here, and they all have the same MO, and they're all junkies, and they're just working the tourists. And they get sometimes if you go downtown, they'll give you the story, my car broke down, help me, blah, 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 and they look like you or me. You know, they're in their 20s, and they don't look like us, but they look non-affected by drugs at the moment. But it's all the same scam over and over again. I have guys in suits come up to me saying, oh, yeah, I lost my wallet, blah, blah, blah. You know, anybody who knows anything about con jobs, this is a classic con job. You know, they show you the business card. It's a business card you can grab out of, you know, one of those fish bowls at any restaurant. You can grab a handful of those and walk up to people and say, yeah, my name is John Smith. And, loan me $50 to get home on the train, or I got to go get my car out of the pound. They have all these stories. They get your money, and it's cool, you know. It's like one big happy family. Everybody finds a way to survive in New York City and anywhere else for that matter. It's no different. It's just a different intensity in New York because there's so many damn people on the streets in one form or the other trying to get something out of you. But yes, the guy was nodding off, and yes, that was funny. But what about Nazis?
The Nazis. Well, speaking of Naked Nazi. I know our listeners don't have the cover in front of them, but I got to tell you, you know, you've got a.
They will if they
class.
Go. Wait. Let's
if you
stop.
Go to bmovie.com. Yeah. You can
movie.
See the
go
cover
to
right
bmovie.com right now, and in the search bar. Type in Naked Nazi, and it'll come up, and you get to see it.
N-A-K-E-D Nazi. You'll probably auto-fill the Nazi part.
I thought it was N-E-K-K-K-I-D. Naked Nazi. See, that would be too clever, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. Naked. Odds are that you've already been searching for Nazis, so it's already in your browser, so just... But anyway, you've got your half naked SS girl, I guess, with a swastika on her armband. And you've got a guy heiling Hitler, and you've got a big swastika, and it's all, you know, it's red and black, and it looks very Nazi-ish. But you know, it turns out and I got to tell you, when I saw this, I was like, oh my god, who would have thought that Blitzkrieg would be so influential? I mean, honestly, I mean, I love Blitzkrieg, as you know, and
yes.
You know, I think I had a very small part in helping the masses see them.
You did. You did.
By playing as a pioneer.
You
back
did.
In the day.
And you know what? I thought, and for anyone who doesn't know what we're this inside thing we're talking about here is that Wild Eye, my micro label movie company, released a movie in 2008 called Blitzkrieg, Escape from Stalag 69, which is still our most popular film. Still, people buy it all the time. People watch it online. You know, people still talk about it. It was probably one of the first, a couple little things here and there, but probably the first, like, all-out nod or homage to the Nazi exploitation genre of the 70s and early 80s. And I suspected, because I had people, even people from other companies, saying, oh, I wish I would have thought of that first. That's a money-making idea, blah, blah, blah. I wish I thought of it, wish I did it. Other filmmakers saying they wish they were working on one, and we beat them to it, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we had something special for its time. I suspected in 2009, 10, and 11, there'd be tons of them, but there weren't. There was no big, for whatever reason, why I don't know why, there was no big outpouring of Nazi exploitation spoofs or, you know, because the Blitzkrieg's hard to categorize. I mean, you know, you could say it's a spoof. You could say it's an homage. You could say it's its own animal, really. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, and you just have to see it to find out. But, when I saw the cover of this, I said, "Oh, these people are spoofing." You know, they're not spoofing; they're cashing in on Blitzkrieg. They're trying to do their own version, and more power to them. That's great. You know, there's plenty of room for everybody. In this crazy movie world, to some degree. So, But yeah, it's only 60 minutes or so. It's only an hour, Naked Nazi.
Naked Nazi, I didn't even see the running time on the box. But
Ted, 65
minutes.
65, I'm sorry, I cheated him by 5 minutes. But let me tell you, Blitzkrieg's 2 hours and 15 minutes and change. So if you don't want to sit through that, if you don't want to sit through pontificating about the nature of humanity, and you just want to see some naked, crazy, softcore type stuff, what shameful things will she make you do before she kills you? That's the tagline of Naked Nazi. But then on the box, it says, with brutal fury, she will bring men to their knees.
Yeah, but and you know, you said softcore, it's actually I guess it's hardcore. I mean, I have to be very delicate describing this because we're on a family show, obviously.
Well, listen, it's it's not the Disney hour, but yeah, if there's, you know, we can talk around you. We're creative and clever enough to code it out, right?
Yeah, I'll try to
It does look right on bmovie.com. It does say whatever you're about to say. You know, it you have to be 18 to buy it, first of all. And it says warning, adults only, strong sexual content. But it's not a porno in the traditional sense, is it?
Well, almost it is. I mean, there's definitely full frontal nudity, female, of the female variety, and even the step further, that besides not just nudity, but actually close-up, solo girl manipulation.
Right. Okay. You're really working with that creative and clever thing that I said earlier. Okay. Good. Keep going.
Anyway,
you're doing great.
But that said, there isn't. What I find peculiar is when there's a man involved with the woman, the man's full frontal is not shown.
Mm.
So, is it hardcore?
Unlike Blitzkrieg, director Keith Crocker, in his most outsider artist move, went all out. He said, "Well, you know, if I show the women, I have to show the guys." And this is no 13-13, Bigfoot Island move. Keith's as straight as they come, but he said it's only fair if I do it to the women, I have to do it to the guys. The camera will not flinch in my Nazi playground. That's what he said. So but here's almost the opposite of 13-13, where we don't want to see the guys and the girl walking through the scene. We don't want to see the showers with the no soap. We just want to see the soap, so to speak, right? Is that what are you saying here? What is going on?
I don't know. I mean,
are you recommending this?
Really? No, I don't think I would recommend it.
Nazi exploitation lovers. Like, if you liked, Blitzkrieg, if you liked Salon Kitty, would you? You know what I mean? If you were a fan of Ilsa, would you see Naked Nazi? You know, like, if that's your thing, if that's your fetish, are the costumes cool? I mean, what are there tanks in the movie? There are tanks on the box.
About as far as I could go with this would be if you liked Ilsa, you'll love the cover of the box.
If you love the movie Ilsa, the whole movie, you'll love the cover of the box. I don't know if that's an endorsement though.
It's not. No, I don't
think
it's not.
Okay.
Not an endorsement.
So we can't say, Mr. Ree can't say, get run out and get this movie. But I will say, we want bmovie.com to get a fair shake to some degree, because there's going to be some people that want to see this stuff, and there are probably Nazi movie completists, you know, just like somebody wants every drug movie ever made, somebody wants every Nazi movie ever made, and they're going to want this movie. So, you know, nothing we say or do is going to stop them from getting it. But okay, so if you liked the poster for Ilsa, you might like the front cover of Naked Nazi. That's as far as we're getting on a positive review. Probably the best review I've ever heard of a movie. Now, but there's these other. Have you seen these other Nazi movies that are selling? That are selling in America in 2012? Fräulein's in Uniform. You haven't seen that yet, have you? Did you see it when it was out in theaters in 1976? And Frankenstein versus Hitler. I'm going to get that one for Movies Hate You to review.
I'd like to see Frankenstein versus Hitler. Yeah,
I would like to see that too. And it has a killer cover. You know,
do they shoot two endings so that they can, you know, have like the German ending where Hitler wins?
for the German market. Well, let me tell you something I learned about releasing a Nazi exploitation movie. That you can't sell it in Germany. You cannot sell it in Germany. They do not want anything to do with that stuff. They don't want the movies. Let me tell you what happened to me once. On eBay, which we do, Wild Eye sells some incidental items for our films on eBay. You know, we sell our DVDs there, but we also have, you could buy a Blitzkrieg barf bag that we had made up for the theatrical run. In 2008, we have some left, and we sell the barf bags on eBay. We sell, we made lobby card sets for all our films, or most of them. You can buy those on eBay. So anyway, somebody from Germany once bought the other film that Keith Crocker made was Bloody Ape, and which was like a shot on Super 8 throwback to, like, you know, say like Al Adamson kind of vibe. What, you know, if you've seen it or you know of it, you know what I'm talking about. Drive-in type of feeling, like a H.G. Lewis, his homage to that kind of stuff. Anyway, so we had this lobby card set made for Bloody Ape, and somebody in Germany bought a Bloody Ape lobby card set. So I ship it out to him, blah, 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 and I get this email that was like I had gone there personally and killed the guy's family. He was so mad at me. I'd accidentally sent him a Blitzkrieg lobby card set, which is filled with Nazi people dressed like Nazis and Nazi swastikas and, you know, just playing up the whole thing. And he went ballistic. He's like, this is illegal in my country. I'm so lucky that the mail people didn't open this up. I would have been arrested and on the news. He was so angry at me. So angry. I said, well, please return it to me. And in the meantime, I'll send you the correct lobby card set, which I did. But he never returned the Blitzkrieg lobby card set. So I'm wondering if he sold it for like $2,000 on the black market.
He probably didn't want to take a chance of it coming from his home, mailing it, you know?
He probably took it in the backyard and buried it or put it in a bin and burned it. No, I didn't get it back, but I didn't ask for it back. That was the joke, is that, you know, he didn't send it back. But yes, you're right, Todd. That's why, you know. Hey, Todd, I didn't mean to put down – you have homeless people in Kansas City, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it a bad problem?
Yeah.
And so it's probably equal to us here. Or the worst I've ever seen is in San Francisco. They follow you around and they have conversations with you. They're so friendly there. It's creepy, but I guess it's West Coast friendly, but I don't find that friendly. If any homeless guy follows me around in New York, I'm reaching for my, you know, my weapon and stuff. It's just crazy. Crazy, you know. When somebody comes up to you that looks like they're out of a horror movie and is, hey, Poppy, I got a quarter, Poppy. I'm like, first of all, what are you going to do with a quarter in New York? You're not going to do anything with a quarter in New York. You're just opening up the dialogue so they can ask me for something else. You got a cigarette, Poppy? And that's a white guy calling me Poppy, dude. That's the scariest part. It's a white dude saying Poppy. Not a Hispanic woman. I don't mind if a Hispanic woman calls me Poppy. It's in context. But when like a 200-pound muscular dude that just got out of prison is like, hey, Poppy, you got a quota? You've been there, Mr. Ree. You've been there, Mr. Ree. I know you have.
No, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, speaking of the homeless, I just wanted to touch on. Did you see, Mr. Rita, that Obama's got a documentary coming out soon? And I'm speaking about the homeless, because I had earlier said that it was Obama's fault that the guy with the swastika on his head lost his job. Not that Obama's homeless or will be, but I just, you know, the road we've traveled is coming out. Now, this is a documentary that cost almost $400,000 of taxpayer money. Propaganda for his reelection. What do you think of this, guys? I wanted to touch on this tonight. I think it's terrible.
Well, who made the documentary? I mean,
use your own money. The documentary was made by whoever directed that End of the World movie Al Gore made. What's that apocalypse movie?
An uncomfortable
inconvenient truth. Yeah, I think it's the director of that.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I don't. This is the first I've heard of it, so I don't really have an opinion yet. But I guess I don't have too much of a problem with it. I mean, the Clintons.
That's what it is. It's the person who did the Clinton. Yeah, it was the Clinton. Whoever did the Clinton documentary that won everybody over.
Right, the TV guys. Those guys were the people that made whatever the hit TV show, like Evening Shade or something.
I'm dying over here. I think Obama's cursing me because I'm talking about his movie. Davis Guggenheim.
I don't know. I don't know who it is.
It's Inconvenient Truths. Davis Guggenheim. I should know my facts before I get on a national radio show and start talking about it. But besides that, he's made this movie. He's fine to make a propaganda movie. Everybody's making propaganda movies. What do you think commercials are when you see whoever it is, either side of the fence? I could care about either side of the fence. So I'm not here to put down Obama. I'm not here to put him on a pedestal, whatever. I just think it's weird that they've enlisted. I mean, Tom Hanks narrates the thing, and, you know, Hollywood's been enlisted, and you get all this tech, you know, you get like the cutting edge, you get the best people in Hollywood to like help reelect you. I mean, it just, something stinks. Something stinks there, man. Now, whether or not you like Obama, I don't care who did it. It just stinks of fake. It just stinks of stupid and fake. And it is insincerity. Insincerity. If I hired somebody for $400,000 to make a movie about me, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great movie about me.
Mm-hmm.
The president with a sack hires somebody, hires some Japanese film crew to come in and make a documentary about his life, and warts and all, man. And this is what it's like being a president. It sucks. It sucks making these decisions. It sucks being told I'm a jerk no matter what I do or no matter how good my intentions are. It sucks. It sucks having to listen to people who are not in 2012, but they're in 1012 in their thoughts about women. And they still want this biblical control over women. These lizards that have crawled out of the mud. That are going to run against this guy. That's the thing that I would film, but nobody's filming it. It's like this, everything's a whitewash. Everything's this, you know. Everything's done in broad strokes. Yeah, don't you find it crazy? It's the man who killed Bin Laden, Gaddafi.
Yeah,
and he still can't. The guy could get up today and say, today I'm signing this thing and we're taking the rights away from all women. No more abortions. It's over. And these guys would still say, oh, he's the worst president ever. He's not a... Come on, man. You just can't win. Why not a movie about that?
Jesse Jackson used to tell a joke. Now, I'm not a huge Jesse Jackson fan, but I think it's a funny joke. He said that Jesse Jackson and the Pope are in a boat. And then there's a boat next to us, and it's reporters. And the boat capsizes, and Jesse saves the Pope, right? And the next boat is the guy typing on his typewriter. The next day, the headline reads, "No, I'm sorry, I totally ruined the joke."
Oh God!
What happened is the okay,
Mr. Ray.
The Pope flows off into the water, okay? Todd can edit this, don't worry. It'll make a lot more sense.
Don't give him extra work.
The hat blows off, and Jesse gets out of the boat, walks across the water, and picks up the Pope's hat and gives it back to him. The next day, the headline reads, Jesse can't swim.
Right.
It's a funny joke.
Right.
That no matter what the guy does, it's going to be spun negatively. And I think
right.
that's the case with Obama. And, of course, nobody's going to come out and say it has anything to do with race, but it obviously does from so many.
Come on. Of course
not
it does.
From everyone, it,
no, it doesn't here in New York, and it doesn't in L.A., okay? And it doesn't in Chicago, but it does in Mississippi. It really does. And anybody in Mississippi listening, I apologize, but it does matter in Mississippi where Santorum wins. Was Santorum really in 2012? In the year 2012?
It's amazing. They're
your savior, kind of 2,000-year dead savior, would come out and say, really? In 2000? That dude would get out of his grave and say, really? In 2012? I would have hoped for more from you. You're still reading that crap that we wrote back then? That's what they would say. You didn't update that yet? I'm embarrassed for you. I take it back. I take back your life force, all of you. Take it back. One swoop. You're all amoeba again. Start over. That's what he would do if there was such a person. And I hate for this to become political. The point was that this movie, it's ridiculous. Not only is it ridiculous to hire Hollywood to come in and try to tell the American people, basically this movie exists so that our president of the United States can say, hey guys, this is what I've been doing for the last couple years. Just, you might want to check this out. Just so you know, let me show you how bad crap was when I walked into this hellhole of a country. Or whatever, you know, like how bad things really were for us. And I don't think it's a hellhole of a country in any respect at all. But it's a shame that the president, so many people are clueless of their own reality and the reality of our economy and the reality of our place in the world, good or bad, that there has to be a movie made to show them what the president's done, that the dude has to shell out $400,000 probably of your money to show you what you should have been following all along. It almost implies that he's up against such, you know, spinning of truth, and he's up against such lies, and he's up against, you know, and he is. You could see it in the debate. People just come up and say, oh, Obama's, Obama ruined things by giving the car companies money. Well, how? You know, anybody could say that. I could say it right here. It doesn't make it true.
Mm.
Car companies are doing better than ever. So did that help or did it hurt? You know, it's like the question is Obama the communist for giving you the money, or are you the communist for taking it, right? I'm not the first one to say that, but that's the question. You know, you bail out Wall Street, and then you turn around and call the guy that gave you the money the communist. But you took that money, and you made more money, and you paid it back. Something's not right. And welcome to the Movies Hate You Political Hour. Mr. Reed, our foreign correspondent here, and Todd Sheets, our man in Israel.
Thanks.
Speaking of politics, you know, 420's coming up.
Ah, yes. In a couple days.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at my calendar here.
You mean 320. You must mean 420. Wait a minute.
420's coming up next month, actually, yeah. 420, April 20th.
You mean April 20th.
April 20th, not this month, but next.
Now, is it an extra 420? Because it's actually 420-2012. Is that like a double 20? Does he get something extra for that?
I don't know.
420-2012.
I'd have to look into that. But as we all know, as
right.
Well, I didn't know recently, but 420 is a code for marijuana.
And now, it's a police code for marijuana?
Well, you know what? It's funny because I had no idea. The reason I brought this up is another video that I'm reviewing is called the 420 Triple Feature. It's also available on bmovies.com, naturally.
420. That's the numbers. 420 Triple Feature.
The numerals, 420 Triple Feature, and it's three vintage anti-marijuana shorts, which are fantastic, including the classic from 68 that stars Sonny Bono. Now, I actually saw this in school when I was in junior high school. I swear, I remember
showing
this.
Your age. You're showing your age.
Well, it wasn't new. It was a rerun, but this would have been about...
Was that on like 16 millimeter? They whipped out 16 millimeter. It had to be. In what year?
Well, I'm guessing I was in 8th grade, so we're talking about maybe 77, 78, something like that.
Wow.
But I definitely remember in health class, and we saw this, and Sonny, it was Sonny Bono, and I'm like, oh my God, he's wearing a gold lamé. You have to buy this just to see. If you've never seen the Sonny Bono Marijuana movie, you've got to see it. It's worth the price of admission, no matter what the price of admission is. It's obvious that Sonny is doing like a community service thing. I don't know if he took a drug bust or something, but he's a narrator, and he's probably in his 20s, but he looks like he's 50. He acts like he's 50, and he's so square. And
he was square. Yeah,
he was born square. And he's talking to the kids in the language that only they'll understand, and he's being real hip, and he's got the love beads on, and the big mustache. It's amazing. And he actually looks stoned, believe it or not. He looks like he's stoned through the whole... Maybe that was the only way he could do it, get through the day.
Well, it's the only way any of us could do something like that, I'm sure.
The greatest thing about these... I've seen a lot of anti-drug shorts, propaganda films, whatever. What's funny about the marijuana ones is because marijuana is so different from other drugs, I mean, at least in my opinion,
right.
You don't overdose on marijuana. You know, it isn't cocaine, it's not heroin, it's a pretty benign drug. And so when they're playing up the dangers, it all just sounds like, wow, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds pretty good. There doesn't seem to be a downside to it.
It's an endorsement for the drug.
Well, it's kind of a backward endorsement. It's really, if you smoke a joint, you're gonna want to eat a bag of potato chips and watch TV. Like, okay,
doesn't sound so bad.
Okay. Yeah.
I love watching TV and eating bags of potato chips. Well, how bad could it be?
Exactly. That's it. I mean, the only thing that he really, that's a pretty good warning, I think it's pretty good advice, is you really shouldn't fly an airplane while you're stoned.
Right, or ski.
Yeah. So I've learned my lesson, and I didn't even never flown an airplane.
Now, isn't that what happened to John Denver?
Well, or skiing. Maybe Sonny Bono was stoned when he was skiing, for crying out loud.
I made that joke already. You missed it.
Oh, sorry.
You're too caught up in your own talk in there. See that?
Sorry, yeah.
I already said it. Or you said if you're ever flying a plane. I said, or skiing. Todd chuckled, but you didn't catch it. I'm one step ahead of you at all times, Mr. Ree. I am the boss of this show.
It's your world, baby.
So John Denver was a pot user, wasn't he? And he got into a plane crash. So did Sonny Bono predict John Denver's demise?
Is that true that John Denver was a pot smoker?
I'm making that up. I mean, I think people listen to him, but it wouldn't surprise me if John Denver was a pot smoker. But I think he's probably pretty straight laced. But wouldn't surprise me.
I think we might have even covered this before. But when the PMRC hearings were going on with the whole rock record labeling and everything, he was one of the most vocal, articulate opponents. It just amazed everyone because you've got Dee Snider and Frank Zappa.
Dee Snider, Frank Zappa, and John Denver team up.
Yeah.
Well, it was... No, he wasn't... Yeah, but no. There was... the reason why he teamed up with them wasn't out of just some kind of responsibility he felt. He was targeted by them as well for Rocky Mountain High. And that was his famous... folk song, everyone knows Rocky Mountain High, that's like, and it was banned when it came out, and he was the victim of, something like the Doors was victimized by that fool on Ed Sullivan, you can't say, girl, we couldn't get much higher, there was such a fear about marijuana, that something like that would happen, or John Denver, his songs would be. Imagine John Denver was banned from the radio. I mean, the stuff we talk about today, we don't even talk about banning stuff anymore, do we? I mean, when's the last time something's been banned for the radio? I mean, you turn on the, you know, what we have here is like something like a Z100 or something that's a mass market kind of dance, you know, whatever's popular song. They play the bad versions and they bleep out the curses. So you know what they're saying. So the 10-year-old listening knows what they're saying, but it's bleeped. That would have never have happened. Can you imagine being 10 years old in 72 or whatever, and you can't hear Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, whenever they, I think yearly they publish a list of banned books, like books that have been banned for one reason or another in school libraries or whatever. And there's always a couple of head scratchers on there. There's always like the Sneetches, Dr. Seuss, or something. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously? You know, it's you can't underestimate the idiocy of people just, you know, bending over backwards looking for something to complain about.
Yeah.
To be afraid of.
So that's why he teamed up with Zappa and Schneider, was because he had gone through it years earlier and he knew what it was like to be persecuted for absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, he had to go before the FCC and explain, oh, it's about the high you get from looking at the mountains in Colorado. You know what I mean? Like, he had to go and, he had to go and kiss butt and explain himself. Can you imagine? An artist had to explain himself to government officials. You know, that's
like
not...
Oh, like McCarthy hearings, you know?
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, that's another whole other show, censorship. Todd can talk about that. You know, Todd knows censorship that's going on right in his area.
Yeah, we get really complacent about it because, like racism and sexism and everything, you know, you sort of, and homophobia, you figure, oh, well, that's, you know, we're not in that anymore, you know, especially with you and I living in New York. Not that New York is necessarily an enlightened place overall, but you kind of lose touch with the real hardcore, like, racist people, or at least... I mean, they're outwardly racist people, but
there are. But you know what? It's on a different level. It's like it's a weird, like, it's like somebody will tell you to your face, "I don't like you, white boys," or some stuff like that. It's not about like you know, where you would go somewhere else and somebody said, "No, I would never work in a place that had black people working there." I mean, there are people like that say that today. You to say that in the New York area would be laughed at because it's such a melting pot of people. I mean, you go from house to house. It's, you know, it's Muslim, you know, Pakistan, black, white, Jewish, poor, middle class. There's no, and it's all on the same block. You know, everybody's in the same boat. It's not. It just doesn't work the same way that it works in the suburbs or outside west of the Mississippi. Todd, are you still with us, or did you fall asleep?
I'm with you.
Hey, I think we're running out of time, Mr. Sheets.
I think you
is that
are.
True? Oh no!
Yeah, and
you're actually over by a minute, but I was letting you ramble.
No. You're not going to cut out John Denver, are you?
I'm cutting it all.
Hey, so listen, next time we're going to get into some stuff with Todd about censorship that's going on in his hometown. And he's caught it, and he's done something about it. And so can you. So, yeah, there is still censorship. It's just not the government. It's now people taking government responsibility into their hands and messing with the stuff you see and hear. That sounds exciting, doesn't it, Mr. Ree?
It's sick. It sounds sick. But yes, it's very
exciting. It's sick and disgusting, but, you know, people have to be reminded of, you know, what's floating out there, and, you know, yeah, it's out there. Right, Todd?
Yes.
We're going to make a few phone calls on that one, too, right?
Yeah, we might.
And if anybody's interested, just not to give Todd Sheets his due love, there is a copy of Moonchild VHS for $30.73 on Amazon. Grab it today. I'm telling you, it'll be gone. And he's not selling it. Todd doesn't care if I do. He hates when I do that. All right. So you've been listening to Movies Hate You. My name is Rob H. Mr. Ree is the Asian sidekick. And Todd Sheets, our wonderful producer and grand poobah and godhead figure. Thanks for joining us. Check out bmovies.com, bmovie.com. I'm going to get fired. Bmovie.com, our sponsor. And we'll see you next time, geeks.
Good night and God bless.
Ah, you're really good.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but him.